Well, hey, everybody, it's me, Kevin Stevenson. Thanks for joining me today on I Don't Care with, yeah, me, Dr. Kevin Stevenson. You're used to the shtick, I guess. So a little windy here in Central Texas today. You know, we finally got out of the 80s. We got some north wind. We're in the 60s, and hopefully this blue norther kind of gets out before the weekend. We got a big football game here at McLean Stadium, home of the Baylor Bears. Hopefully the Bears can pull something out this weekend that they haven't been able to do the last couple of weeks. So anyway, let's get to it. Today's guest on I Don't Care is Lance Summey. Lance is a franchise owner for Home Instead. Lance, welcome to I Don't Care.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. I really am.
Well, we're happy to have you, Lance. Tell my audience a little bit about you and a little bit about Home Instead.
Sure. So my name is Lance. As Dr. Stevenson said, I'm a franchise owner for a group called Home Instead. Home Instead's the largest in the world in our type of care, and we specialize in what is deemed non-medical care. So we are sometimes referred to as kind of a caregiving service. And so a lot of what we do is manage the activities of daily living on a day-to-day basis for families in a variety of healthcare settings, acuities, needs. I got into this, I have a master's in social work from Baylor, and then mother went through a really, really nasty battle with breast cancer almost 20 years ago. Her mother had multiple sclerosis. I used to work at a local hospital system. I just kept feeling this burden of this kind of what happens beyond the hospital and care, which is not new, which is a conversation that we have often. But I got the opportunity to step into this role and really have not looked back. It's been a great way to serve my local community and the families that we get to help and our care staff on a day-to-day basis.
Okay, very good. So Lance, talk a little bit about how do people access your services? Are you getting phone calls from the hospital, from family members, from the patients themselves? What?
Yeah, great question. And the answer is yes, everything, right? We have hospital partnerships that call us directly. Hey, Miss Jones is in 302 and she's about to get discharged in 3 days and she has nobody or her spouse is not in a position to take care of her, blah, 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 blah. So sometimes we get direct calls from that. We work a lot with groups that do home health or hospice. Mm-hmm. One of the big misnomers is that it's kind of either or, right? I'm not going to go down this road too far unless you'll let me, but we look at what CMS changes over the past 10 to 15 years have been to reduce readmissions. And home health has been kind of on the forefront of that in theory, but home health isn't really meeting that. And that's not a knock on home health, right? Because home health is going in a couple times a week to do OTPT, but they're not helping with lift restrictions when I just had a pacemaker or I have COPD or CHF. And so we do work and integrate well with hospice and home health. I got a call this morning from a woman that's getting hip replacement and she's going to get discharged and she's thinking about the next 4 to 6 weeks post-op. What does it look like around my home? And so our care is varied. We work in nursing homes. We work in ALs, ILs, SNFs. What I generally tell people is anything you did to get ready for this call or to get ready for your work or to leave your home, you could do those things. There are people who fundamentally can't, and we do those things to help get those people ready.
Okay.
Bathing, dressing, grooming, feeding, errands, transportation. So much of that, little things that we often take for granted, but when you can't do them, they become a real barrier to your day-to-day health and your day-to-day ability to function.
That was my next question, is what types of things do your staff members do for your clients?
Yeah, you know, it looks, again, varied. We have people that are on hospice that are receiving 24-hour, 7-day-a-week care. And so we're doing everything from them, from changing them when they have a bowel movement or need to have their clothing changed, to a bed bath, to feeding, to do the meal prep, We do a lot of transportation, right? And it's another gap that home health won't do. Lance gets discharged from local hospital and needs to get home and doesn't have a family member to take him from hospital to home. We can transport. We do follow-up appointments for people to make sure they go back to the cardiologist post-op to make sure that they are seeing their follow-up appointments. We'll do a lot of grocery runs, a lot of pickups, light housekeeping, a lot of that. We do a lot of what is called companionship care, which sounds pretty cute until you're like me and my parents are out of state. And then I need to know what's going on in my parents' home.
Yeah.
My grandfather was telling us he was able to be independent long after we found out he was not in a position to be independent. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times, a lot of our care is that extra eyes, those extra ears, just being present, engaged, aware of what's going on, and being able to kind of create a little bit more elasticity into that ecosystem so that either unmet needs become to get met, or we're able to communicate to providers, practitioners, physicians, hey, your patient has gained 5 pounds in 3 days, and they may not tell you until it's a problem, but we can tell you, right? So they get best, but really it's a wide open gamut to based on what your needs are and your situation is.
And I did hear you say there's a non-clinical, so you're not giving out medications, right? You're not really helping people with formalized therapy like ambulation or anything like that. You're actually doing the tasks that these people need to have done.
Correct. So what we often are told is that we're deemed non-medical or non-skilled. We're not providing wound care. I don't have RNs under my charge that are doing delegated services. However, what I often tell people, especially people in your position, is not being non-medical and not meeting a clinical need are not the same, right? Because I'm non-medical doesn't mean you still don't have a clinical need for my services. And so again, let's step back. Let's say that you're coming out of a local hospital, you just had a pacemaker put in, you're going to be on lift restrictions for the next 4 to 6 weeks. If you don't have somebody to help get you your prescription on the way home, make sure you're eating properly for the next at least 30 days, getting to your follow-up appointments, being weighed every day, making sure you're following whatever rehab requirements they want, then we do see, based on data, readmissions, which is why even with home health, my personal bias is we still see a 20% readmission rate for COPD and CHF, which is costing the healthcare system billions. If the direct cost to a hospital is $10,000 to $20,000 for a COPD readmission and 1 out of 5 is being a readmit, does it not make better sense to pay somebody like us $1,000 to take care of said patients to not only defray your costs, but also increase your patient outcome? Like, there's so many non-clinical things that we do that greatly influence the clinical outcome, in our opinion, and based on what we see.
Okay. So for example, like, could I call you, say, my mother lives alone, I'm in another state, and mom just needs somebody to come by and, you know, mom likes to play backgammon. Could I bring you guys on board, you know, obviously to check on mom to make sure she's doing the appropriate things, but just to say, hey, yeah, you know, Mrs. Stevenson, would you like to play a game of backgammon today?
Yep, absolutely. So one of the things that we learned very seriously post-COVID is isolation can be crippling.
Mm-hmm.
Not only for mom, but also for son out of state, right?
Sure.
So there are a lot of people that will go in every day and check. Again, I mentioned my grandfather earlier. We knew he wasn't okay when my parents went, poured a glass of a bowl of cereal, and the milk came out in chunks because it was so expired.
Yeah.
He didn't know. He just had his bowl of cereal, right? Mm-hmm. So we do those daily check-ins with some families. But I will tell you that since I've owned this business, one of the transitions we've done is we've moved into a higher acuity medical need level of care. We're doing more integrated home health and hospice support. Because of my experience at one of the local hospitals, I really fight hard to decrease hospital readmissions and to try to create integrated partnerships, because I think those are the gaps that are really most severe. I am not saying that my mom doesn't need help going to Target and getting her hair done, and like that companionship is a real need.
Yeah.
But I also think there's a whole level of people that have clinical care needs, but that are not being able to be serviced by home health, hospice, or anybody else. And we work real hard to provide a level of medical service that you're not going to get from just a church volunteer or the neighbor down the street or that kind of a thing, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it really does. So then, again, I'm out of state son. Mom really, she can drive. She probably shouldn't drive. Can your folks like go to the grocery store for, go to the drugstore for, maybe take her, maybe not, maybe just run those errands for her?
All of it. That's right.
Okay.
So again, we often transport. If you are having concerns about can she, can't she, we generally say she probably can't,
Yeah.
right? Or at least she's safer to let us do that. And so again, we've done everything from take her to HEB once a week to run her to bingo with her friends. But we've also done, I keep going back to the more serious. We also just transported a client that was on hospice on kind of his last rites trip, if you will, from Waco to Lubbock, because he was on hospice and he just wanted to go back and see some friends and family before he passed. He had ALS. He and his family could not transport him. They needed us to transport him, get him stabilized, provide care in Lubbock, and then bring him back safely. So yes, sometimes transportation is as simple as let's go pick up the groceries. And sometimes it's I need somebody there in a more structured, significant way if it were be to become an issue that it is beyond just a drive to the grocery store. So both and everything in between.
Well, I love that example. That's really cool. Hadn't even thought about that. Okay, oftentimes, you mentioned somebody that called you earlier about that they were having a hip replacement, and oftentimes, we at the hospital find out, we've got patients that are coming in for a hip replacement or whatever, and they need some things adapted at their home. Like they might need a ramp, or they need, maybe grab bars in their bathroom. Is that something that you guys can do, or do you contract that out, or at least create that?
So we don't do those things directly, but because we are in the home so often, if you talked with my team, they would have a list of resources for people who do. So we would certainly turn around and say, hey, great. Yeah, we agree. We usually keep some light DME around. I have a warehouse at the office where we keep wheelchairs and shower chairs and potty chairs and stuff like that. But we also have relationships with general contractors and smaller subs that are willing to go in and do some things like that. Because again, I mean, the woman I talked to earlier with a hip replacement, one of my questions for her was, tell me about your shower. Does it have a bench? Does it have a shower chair? Is there a lip that you have to step over and in? Because again, her husband is not able to help her ambulate, and
Mm-hmm.
that's a real quick slip, which compounds a significant issue for her if it's not managed well and thought through. So we don't do those directly, but we work with people who do because that matters.
Yeah, the fact that you have those resources is huge. Okay, so let's can we talk a little bit about a newer concept called hospital at home? Is that something that you guys are involved in or that you're getting involved in? Let's talk a little bit about that. And before we do that, if there's going to be some people in the audience that may not be familiar with that. So can you talk a little bit about hospital at home and the difference between that and a traditional in-home senior care, home health, care that you guys are providing?
Yeah, so one thing I will try to say is I'm a big believer in any relationship, but especially in something like this, that I don't think there is one size fits all. So what is hospital to home to Dr. Stevenson or to Bob down the street or to Lance may be different. I think part of what has to happen in any of these collaborative relationships is greater conversation about what your needs are. What we do know is that hospitals now are beginning to send people home earlier and things like length of stay become more of a burden for the hospital than they historically have been. And so we are seeing, I believe, I'm not an MD, but I think we're seeing better inpatient medical care, which means you're ready to go home earlier. But that means we're putting the burden of our outcome on what your home environment is like and less about what our medical care was like. Very different illustration, but think about it like this. I have a 12-year-old son. Yes, it is his math teacher's job to educate him. But if I don't ever do homework with him at home, or I turn around every time he does his homework and tell him that's a waste of time, it's stupid, he's not getting it, right? So if I get great cardiovascular care at a local hospital, and then I go home and I do not pick up my meds, I eat high sodium, I don't weigh, I have fall and trip hazards all over my home, I have 8 dogs that jump all over me, like, what happens in my home greatly impacts my readmission potential, what my post-acute care really looks like. Mm-hmm. And my cardiothoracic surgeon had nothing to do with any of that.
Yeah.
They never visit. I mean, nothing. But if I bend down to feed my dog and I tear my suture, right, it is the home environment that impacted the medical care that I received 18 miles away at the hospital.
Yeah.
So yeah. I think when we talk about hospital to home, we know enough about why hospitals are getting dinged, length of stay, mm-hmm. Non-compliance, not taking medicines, not following prescriptions, not doing follow-up appointments. We usually in a hospital to home turn around and go, we can transport them back home. We can make sure their home environment is safe and sanitary to whatever degree we can, and at least communicate mm-hmm. that this is a high risk situation. If it's not, we can get prescriptions for you on the way home to your hospital and make sure that you have them. How many times have we come out of a hospital and they turn around and say, hey, here's a big bag of all your pills? Someone to sit down and say, I'm not an RN, but this is this, and this is this, and this is this. Right. And mm-hmm. And then again, to be able to come in daily to do a check-in, he has weighed, his weight is stable, he's taken his meds, he did his rehab. You're still probably going to have some sort of home health coming in doing OTPT, but they're coming in for a couple of days, maybe a week. What is bathing, dressing, grooming, ambulation, med compliance, rehab, what does all that look like when no one's watching, right? And so I think we're moving more care into the home. And I think that looks varied in different cities and different states and different med systems. You know, we're monitoring patients with people in other countries now, be it video cam. I mean, there's so much that's changing in what does medicine look like? It's going back to the home. Does that mean I'm going to have an RN in my home all the time? No. Do I need an RN all the time? No. But does an RN on the third floor need to know what's going on in my home if I'm being noncompliant? I think we know that it does behoove you to know sooner rather than later, right? So I think it's tricky, but maybe it's not as tricky as we make it out to be. Maybe we're just not getting the right people in the room and having the right conversations. I don't know. None of this is new. None of this you're hearing for the first time. But why is the conversation not shifting, right? Why are we still kind of dealing with, I would say, some of the same challenges we were 10 to 15 years ago?
Yeah. No, I agree. We talked about the hospital at home concept for years. But I think just by calling it that is a little scary to patients and their caregivers. Because they're thinking, okay, mom got discharged from the hospital in 2 days for something that, you know, just maybe 10 years ago, she would have been in the hospital 7 to 10 days. I'm not equipped to take care of her. You know, who can come in? And like you were saying, do you need an RN 24/7? Probably not, but you need access, you know, the accessibility of somebody. But having somebody in there that can monitor that person, and yeah, remote monitoring is very appropriate in some instances. But if somebody has just recently been discharged from the hospital with a significant diagnosis, they probably need somebody that's laying eyes on them and able to help them immediate versus somebody who's remote monitoring, calling somebody else, having them come to the home. So,
well, and one of the things we see too that won't surprise you that you know is we often put that caregiver burden on the family member, and a lot of time it's self-elected. It's my spouse. I can do that. I can. And sometimes that is noble, but I can't tell you the number of times I've talked with adult children, sons, daughters. I don't want to bathe my mom. I don't want to bathe my dad. I don't, or an aging spouse who I can get him out of the car. The heck you can. You're both at fall risk at that point, right? And so sometimes it is the simplest, smallest of tasks that we so often take for granted that become the reason that he fell in the parking lot again.
Adult children often have the best of intentions. Case in point, years ago, we moved my mom into our house. We had a mother-in-law quarters. It was great. When we moved her in initially, yeah, she was had some issues, but was able to take care of herself. She rapidly declined to the point where, you know, she wasn't taking a shower. And I didn't want to, you know, I didn't feel comfortable bathing my mother. I didn't want to put that burden on my wife. And it got to the point where I finally had to say, Mom, we can't do this anymore. And sadly, you know, she contracted pneumonia. We had to put her into a facility. And while she never wanted to go to a facility, it got to the point where I said, Mom, we just can't do this anymore. And we couldn't transport her. We couldn't transfer her. We couldn't do all those ADLs for her like we wanted to. Best of intentions, but just couldn't. Didn't have the ability to do it.
Well, and we talk about that, right? I mean, there's a model in our type of care called the live-in model. And I'm frankly, transparently, I'm not a big fan of it for reasons we can discuss separately. But I think about, again, how often you want to be a helpful adult son, but ultimately you want to be a son, not a caregiver. And you want to be able to get, at the end of the night, when you get into bed, you want to be able to say, I had a good day, Mom and I played cards, whatever. You don't want to be the one that had to bathe Mom. And I tell families all the time, part of the advantage of hiring us is that when my caregiver walks out of the house, they get a break from the work. And quite honestly, and your family gets a break from them as well. When you're in this all day, every day, same people, same routine, same, especially when we start talking about people with dementia and Alzheimer's, that is exhausting. And it's no one's fault. But that's why we really try to encourage people to say, let an agency come in and just provide a little bit of elasticity, because I promise you, everybody, noble or not, you're gonna appreciate that generally in time. And often people go, we don't need that much. And by the time we're in after a week or two, they're like, we should have done this a long time ago. You're a lifesaver. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I hate to bring the ugly topic in, but Lance, how is this reimbursed?
Yeah, first of all, I don't think it's ugly. I think it's fundamentally, we got to be true and not to rag on big healthcare. But one of the things I love about what we do is it's really transparent. I think one of the things that I love is most agencies like us, I'll speak for me, but this is true for most are going to have an hourly rate. And so the fallacy there is that everybody just says, well, it's all private pay. And that's really not the case. What my team has found, and part of the way we work, I think, differently, is there's a funding stream for every single person that needs care. Some of it is private pay. Some of it is long-term care insurance will pay for us. People that have long-term care policies, which, again, people that were older than I do, a lot of those long-term care policies are actually pretty good. They may have cut those back now, but a lot of long-term care policies are pretty good. The VA has multiple programs that will pay for us. One of the fallacies here, and I don't mean to be negative about the VA, is they do have programs that pay, but often they're different and diverse. And so finding somebody that understands all of the VA systems, from aid and attendant to caregiver respite to homemaker home health aid, having somebody that can do that really well matters. I'm really thankful our team has some great resources like that. But then there's also things like, again, CMS has a new program called Guide, where they're awarding money to families that have a dementia diagnosis. So I'm not so sure that we're not on the cusp of seeing more of that open. Again, the VA is an example. They were increasing hours for veterans until the last year or two because they really began to see stopping people from being readmitting and providing better care on the front end, dare I say, preventative medicine, really does help keep people healthier longer and prevents and defrays substantial healthcare costs. So I say that to say, it's not, well, does my health insurance pay this? No, they don't right now. But there are more and better programs than people realize. It's generally not the cost burden that people think. And I believe, and I'm the eternal optimist, but I also believe that the healthcare system as a whole, if it sits down with some sobriety and says, we're paying $15,000 to $20,000 in direct costs for COPD readmissions, and one out of five is a readmission, are there things that we can do on the front end to both defray that, decrease that cost, and provide better care? And I'm certain we can.
Yeah, well, that's good to know because I think that's the barrier to most people. They think, hey, this is going to cost way too much money. We will do what we think is the right thing and take care of our family member until we just are exhausted and can't do it anymore. So.
The private caregiver model is part of that too, right? We get into this deal where we want to kind of save a little bit of money here, but I think similar to a healthcare system, are we saving a quarter to cost ourselves a dollar?
Yeah.
And so I think some of it is just being able to get in the room and have real conversations about, are these real burdens and how do we alleviate them together? Because I believe there are solutions. It's so much of it is just having the ability, because everybody's busy and everybody's got their own initiatives. Let's sit down and talk about outpatient care for just a little bit.
Yeah.
And there are some great models. I mean, there really are. So.
Okay. Well, very good. Well, Lance Summe with Home Instead, it's been a pleasure having you on. Thank you so much for joining me on I Don't Care today and really enlightening people about the opportunities out there to really get better care in the home for your family members. So, Lance, I really appreciate you coming on board today. Thanks so much. Well, folks, I think that was really interesting. Many of us have faced having aging parents. If you haven't, you will, hopefully. And it's a situation that can become really quite cumbersome on not only the child, but that child's family. And so take a look at services provided by Home Instead or other companies like that. Stay up on the new advances in and around hospital at home, because I guarantee you, as Lance was saying, hospitals are looking at discharging patients sooner and sooner, but they want to be able to have resources to ensure that readmissions are kept to a minimum. So, with that, I appreciate you joining me today on I Don't Care with Dr. Kevin Stevenson, and we'll see you again next week. Take care.